Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to ask that you would open up our hearts, that your Spirit would come, that your presence would be with us, that you would speak through my words, speak through your word. May my words be your word. Touch our hearts. I pray for your Spirit to do this work through this message, and that you would use it to draw us closer to Jesus Christ. I thank you in faith because I believe you'll do this. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And let me ask this question. Is it fair to say that God wants from people their love? God wants love from people. Okay? Is it fair to say that God wants from people their hearts? He wants their hearts. Is that a fair statement to say? I think so. The greatest commandment, Jesus was asked that, right? Teacher, tell us, which is the greatest commandment? What did he say? What did Jesus say?
Love each other.
Okay. That was the second commandment. What was the first commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. So then Christianity without love from the heart is not Christianity. You have to have that for Christianity to be Christianity. And so that then, if you understand all of the right doctrines and teachings, you know, you understand them, but you don't love, Paul says you're nothing. It's 1 Corinthians 13. He says, if I understand all mysteries and have all knowledge and have faith that can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. That's what Paul said. Now, last week in 1 Timothy, we talked about the importance of right doctrine. Paul was really emphasizing that with Timothy. And yet, as important as right doctrine is, there's something more important. In 1 Timothy, Chapter 1, where we are, Paul is going to mention what it is. So I'm just going to read. This is the same section we covered last week, 1 Timothy 1, verses 1 through 7. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations, rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion. Desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Okay, let's review from last week. So, Timothy is Paul's writing to Timothy. Timothy is Paul's audience in this letter. Timothy is a pastor in Ephesus. And there are false teachings going on in the church of Ephesus. They're circulating around, and these teachings, as best we can tell, have some kind of Jewish component to them, because the false teachers want to claim that they are teachers of the law, which would be the Old Testament, Jewish scriptures. That's verse 7. They also sometimes, what they're emphasizing sometimes involves genealogies, which is a highly Jewish emphasis. And the teachings sometimes involve things like forbidding marriage and strict rules about foods that you can't eat. We know this from chapter 4 in Timothy. We haven't gotten there yet, but he's going to mention that as some of the teachings that are going on. And those also were around within the Jewish, the English word is milieu, but I don't know if you know that word, the Jewish world. And so, and they were around in Paul's day, even before Paul's day. You know, the Essenes, actually even before Jesus' day, taught some of those kinds of things. And so Paul is concerned about this false teaching. So he commands Timothy to stay there in Ephesus so that you can command certain men not to teach false doctrines, nor to devote themselves to myths or endless genealogies. That's verses 3 and 4. I basically just kind of gave to you. So right teaching is really important to Paul. He's really emphasizing that. It promotes, this is verse 4, it promotes the good order, God's order, that God has set up in the world, the way God made things. It allows you to work out God's economy in your life, so to speak. So then, if you do not know, just think about it this way, you know, doctrine, we talked about this last week, but if you don't know who God is or what sin is or what the cross has done or who you are in Christ when you become a believer, or many other precious truths, if you don't know these truths, you don't know reality. You just have speculation, as Paul puts it in verse 4. And so we talked about this last week. Right doctrine is to the spiritual world what physics is to the physical world. That's what right doctrine is. It's the physics gives you the laws of the way the physical world works. Well, right doctrine gives you the spiritual laws, if you want to think of it that way, on how the spiritual, it tells you why, how things operate in God's realm. That is why it's so important. Right teaching is really important. Because if you don't know right doctrine, you don't know how God operates. And you got to know that. It's really important. Eternity depends on it. I mean, your eternal state depends on what you do with God and what you do with Jesus. And because you're eternal, you need to know what to do. That's what right doctrine does for you. Now, everything I've just said is review. We covered this last week, so we're not going to dwell on that any longer, but I wanted to sort of set that stage for what Paul's getting ready to say. So let's look at what he says now. Verse 3. Paul, tells Timothy to stay at Ephesus and to command people to stop teaching false doctrines and to stop devoting themselves to myths or endless genealogies, or, you know, either false teaching or fluffy teaching. It's what we kind of talked about. Paul's saying, stop it. That's verses 3 and 4. Now, verse 5. Why stop it? What's Paul's purpose? He tells you his purpose. He says, the aim of our charge, or the goal of this command, is this: love, which issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Okay, stop for a moment. Okay, I want you to think earlier. I gave you 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says that you can know all the right teachings and have no love. And I'd be willing to say that you may be able to think of people that fits. People who know the right teachings, but they really don't love. I mean, I could give you names. People see this in Christian culture a lot. This, you know, they believe the right things, but they really don't love. And they conclude that right teaching isn't all that important, because those people, they have the right teaching, but they don't love. So what did their right teaching do for them? Must not be that important. What's important, they'll say, is love. Just love. You've heard this. You've heard people say that they actually have rejected Christianity because of this. Because Christians just, they fight over petty little doctrines, but they don't love. And they'll say, just give me Jesus' ethic of love without the doctrine. I'll take that. Now, you've heard that kind of talk. Okay. And 1 Corinthians 13 can seem to give some support to that thinking in one way, if you think of it a certain way. Because Paul is saying, you can know all the right teachings but have no love, and if you do, you're nothing. And now, 1 Timothy 1, here comes Paul, same Paul, same author of 1 Corinthians 13. And so the guy who says that if you know all the right doctrines but have no love, you're nothing, that Paul now says the goal of right doctrine is love. To Paul, love is the point of right doctrine. To Paul, love and doctrine go together. Right teaching and proper love should actually be one thing. To Paul, love needs right doctrine. To Paul, right doctrine is necessary for love. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13 again. If you know all the right things but don't love, you are nothing. That's true. You are nothing if you know the right doctrines but you don't love. But in 1 Corinthians 13, after Paul says that, you just go a few verses later in the same chapter, in 1 Corinthians 13, and Paul is defining love. And when he defines love, he says this: love rejoices in the what? Truth. Love rejoices. That's right doctrine. That's what truth is. In other words, if you love, You want right teaching. You want it. If you don't care about right teaching, you don't love. Because love rejoices in it. And love is the goal of right doctrine. That's what Paul's saying in 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. And so you may know some biblical teaching and have no love. It's possible for people to do that. But you cannot have biblical love without caring for biblical teaching. It's impossible. Now, when Paul says, Timothy, keep right doctrine in Ephesus, he says it because he wants love in Ephesus. And he knows that the doctrine should produce love, biblical love. And one of the big mistakes we make about Christian doctrine today is that we think it's just intellectual. It's just stuff you can know up here. That's what we think. But doctrine is not meant to be merely intellectual. We are to love the cross and not just understand how it works. Those are two different things. But you really can't love it until you first understand how it works. But we're not to stop with the understanding. We are to marvel at grace, wonder at grace, and not just explain it. We are to mourn over our sin and not just acknowledge it. It has to affect our hearts. When you actually understand what your sin is and what your sin has done, you should mourn over it. Now, those are all heart responses. Mourning, loving, marveling. The doctrines are meant to touch your heart. They're not meant to just be an intellectual exercise so that you can show how smart you are with the Bible. That's not what God's interested in. He doesn't give us doctrine just so we can know stuff. He doesn't give us truth just so we'll be smart. He wants to transform us, change us. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Christian doctrine is meant to touch every aspect of our being. And not just our minds, but everything. So then, if true biblical teaching does not increase your gratitude, you actually don't understand it. If it doesn't bring greater love to your heart, you've actually missed it. Do you understand it? Oh, yeah, I understand it. Well, yeah, you understand it, but you don't understand it. In verse 5, look where Paul says biblical love comes from. He says it comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. That's where love comes from those things. A pure heart. A pure heart is it's undivided. It's a heart that's focused solely on Jesus. It's not focused on Jesus and this and this and this. That's not pure. Impure means there's something mixed in that should not be there. You know, you deal with chemicals, right? Chemistry. So you have pure chemicals, you have impure chemicals, right? The pure chemicals is just the chemical, nothing else. The impure chemical has other stuff mixed in there. Pure water is just water, clean. impure water is water with dirt or bacteria or chemicals or something. Pure snow has nothing else in it. But snow falls and the snow plow comes on the road and pushes the snow off to the side, and it's all mixed in with that dirt, and it's dirty snow. That's impure. A pure heart wants Jesus as its highest desire. It has no other desire that competes with Jesus. An impure heart has other desires that compete with Jesus. Whether those desires be money or family or movies, I just like to watch them, or electing my candidate here, or even good things like ministering to refugees. A pure heart may watch a movie or work for an income, or care about an election, or help the poor, or a pure heart can do those things. It's not that you don't do those things. But a man or woman with a pure heart will keep those activities subordinate to Jesus. Jesus is highest. I may do those other things, but they don't compete with Jesus. Jesus is what I want. That's a pure heart. In fact, many times, a pure heart will do those things because of Jesus, or do those things for Jesus. And it's Jesus who is the driving force behind what the pure heart is doing. And so a pure heart can love. That's love stems from a pure heart, verse 5. And so a pure heart can love because it can focus on Jesus. And Jesus is where love comes from. That's why a pure heart can love. It's focused on the source of love. So verse 5, love comes from a pure heart. It also comes from a good conscience. Verse 5, this is just the next phrase. A good conscience is what righteousness produces. A good conscience flows out of doing what's right. When you do what's right, you have a good conscience. It means you cannot separate Christian love from Christian ethics. If you violate Christian ethics in whatever way, you know, greedy, sexual ethics, anything, you know, you desire something else higher than God, higher than Jesus. When you violate Christian ethics, it hurts your ability to love because it hurts your conscience. What this means is that sin hurts your ability to love by affecting your conscience. I've seen this in my life. I've seen that when I sin in, let's say, what I say to my wife, I find it harder to love people at work. When I'm selfish toward my children, I tend to be more selfish toward my wife as well. Sin breeds more sin. It sort of reproduces after its own kind, is what it does. Part of that has to do with your conscience. Part of that may have to do with other factors as well, but we're talking about conscience here, and that's part of it. A bad conscience is focused on yourself. A good conscience is freer to love. It's not focused on self. And how you live affects how you love. Live in obedience to Jesus. Live a life for Jesus by faith. And you will be more simple and more loving because you're following Him. Love comes from a good conscience. That's verse 5. But verse 5 also says a third thing. Love comes from a sincere faith. So if you think about this, faith is what connects you to Jesus. No faith, no connection with Jesus. You have to believe. You don't believe, there's no point even saying you know Jesus. You don't. And when you're connected to Jesus, Jesus gives you His resources. You are, the Paul's term for it is, you are in Christ. That's how Paul talks about it. And when you are in Christ, you have the riches of Christ. You don't have these riches because you are rich in and of yourselves. You're not. You're actually weak and poor and nothing in and of yourself. But you have the riches because Jesus is gracious and He just gives them to you. He gives you His riches. You're then free to love. And so biblical love cannot be divorced from faith in Jesus. You can't have biblical love without believing in Jesus and what He's done, the cross, the resurrection, grace, all of that. Everything that goes with that. He's your Lord. There's no biblical love without that. Now, I don't mean that a non-Christian can have no kind of love at all. I'm not saying that. Jesus said, in Matthew 5, He said, if you love only those who love you, do not even the tax collectors and sinners do that? And so Jesus is acknowledging that everybody can have, they have the ability to have a certain kind of love. Non-believers, people who are not Christians, they love their children and their spouses and their family, and they love people who love them. There's a kind of love, but we're talking about a different kind of love. We're talking about biblical love. And without Jesus, you really can't have that kind of love. You can have a different kind of love that everybody shares. But biblical love is built on Jesus. And it has Jesus as its source. And you can't have that love without Him. That's not possible. And you can't have Him without faith. That's not possible either. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the writer to Hebrews says. And so real faith with a pure heart in Jesus produces in your life love. That's what it does. Okay, so let's step back now and look at this text again. So we're looking at verse 5 particularly. And I want you to see in verse 5 that love and a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith and right doctrine all go together. You can't separate them in real life. Now, I know that Paul mentions them separately in the text. That's true. But he mentions them separately in order to tell you that they are all interconnected. That's actually the point of what he's trying to say. They're interrelated. They're all mixed together. They're all part of this stew called Christianity, or the Christian life. You take one of those ingredients out, you know, take out right doctrine or a pure heart or a sincere faith or whatever. Take one of them out, and you are messing with God's recipe. Now, last week we talked about the importance of right doctrine. This week we are seeing that it is important not just for intellectual reasons. It's not just so that you can understand how things work. That is true. It's just there's something bigger and more going on than just, oh, I now understand how things work. See, right doctrine provides the foundation upon which God will build your spiritual life. It's going to be part of that pure heart and part of that sincere faith and part of your love. And it's all mixed in there. It gives your heart a right focus on Christ. That's what right doctrine does. Right doctrine shows your heart where to go. It teaches you the Christian ethic of love and shows you what love looks like in the real world. Christian love. It informs you of the true faith, the true Christ, so that when you do have a sincere faith, your faith is in the real thing. You're actually trusting Jesus and not some man-made doctrine of Jesus. There's a difference between trusting Jesus and trusting a man-made doctrine of him. They're not the same thing. When you trust the man-made doctrine, you're going astray. And so, right doctrine takes you to the real thing. And when you get the real Jesus, you can love with his love because you have him. Now, people who reject true doctrine on the central issues of the Christian faith do not have a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith. And you say, oh, come on, you can't say that. Okay, I'll let Paul say it, verse 6. Just keep reading. Here's what he says in verse 6. He says, certain persons, by swerving from these, what are these? A pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. He just mentioned them in verse 5. So, certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Okay, so they've swerved away from those things, pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. And when you wander away from those things, what do you get? Paul says, vain discussions. And you want to be teachers of the law, but you have no clue what you're talking about. When you wander away from those things, you wind up with false doctrine. That's what he's talking about. He's connecting your doctrine with a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. False teaching and a false life go together. And the people that I know who have the most love are those people who take care to know the Word of God in all of its fullness. They are people who are in the Word of God every day. They are people who have a hunger to know the truth. And they don't say, oh, well, you know, doctrine, that doesn't really matter. When I encounter those people who talk that way, I don't find them to be very loving. And so love and right doctrine go together. We love because he first loved us, and his love dwells inside us. We can forgive because he first forgave us, and his spirit lives in us. We can be patient with other people because he is patient with us. And his character is being poured into us. We can rejoice because he has been good to us, and his joy rests in our hearts. Now, of course, to have this love that I talked about, forgiveness, patience, joy, all these things I just mentioned, to have them, you have to believe the truths that produce them. And those truths are right doctrines. That's what those truths are. The gospel of Jesus produces love. But the gospel of Jesus consists of doctrines that come from God's word. And if you want his love in your life, start by believing his truths. They will help produce the love that you want. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the fact that you shed abroad your love into our hearts, and that itself is a doctrine. Hallelujah. Bless you. We love you. We give thanks to you for who you are, high and exalted, and yet willing to humble yourself and come to earth and go to the cross, Lord Jesus. We're so grateful. I pray you make us men and women who care passionately about knowing your truth in your word. I pray you do that. We bless your name, and we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.